This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's Thursday morning. It's already the 21st of September.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I know. First of all, it's spring. Second of all, it's almost the weekend. Third of all, we got a long weekend.
That's the way we like it.
No reason for anyone to be miserable or ugly this morning, despite the song we started the show with. I love that song. I'm ugly as sin, beautiful as art, ugly's in. If you're ugly like me, you're in good company. There are millions of us who are ugly.
True.
If you're standing in front of that mirror this morning and you're looking deep into your own eyes thinking, why was I born so hideous?
Oh, Satan. I can't relate.
No. They describe you in the song. They go, they're beautiful people, blah, blah, blah. Ointment and makeup galore. You smear on your body daily.
That's it.
Then you wipe it off and put on some more.
If you ever try to slap me,
ointment,
your hand will just slip down. There's at least like 5 centimeters.
I went to visit Christina, who gives me like a facial treatment every couple of weeks, and she's really terrific. She knows everything about this. She put this weird looking mask thing with the holes cut out, like you'd almost expect in a horror movie.
Yeah,
she put this thing on my face, and she was telling me how if you do what Sia's doing and you look after your skin early on, like from the age of like 18-20 years old,
mm-hmm.
you will look young when you're old. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's actually so true. I wish I did the same with my skin and my hair, because I look at me.
Look at you, Sia. You're perfectly preserved, and you will stay that way until you're 70.
Well, I just want to look like a fetus when I'm 50.
You look good.
Just imagine if you
want a
eat
Benjamin
right.
Button. That's only downfall.
That'll happen in his 20s. Don't worry.
He needs to make that investment now.
No, he'll be fine because his metabolism's so fast that he doesn't have any. You've got it all set up right. Just trust me. You're doing it all.
Let's see.
Eat the shit that you eat now because it's revolting. And you know what? You'll get sick of it eventually.
He's not eating shit, though. He barely eats.
Yeah, I had chocolate this morning.
Oh, okay.
Chocolate for breakfast. I've seen him come in here with a bag of McDonald's sometimes. God alone knows what's in there.
I opened my fridge. There was a slab of chocolate looking at me. I was like, no. I can have a few blocks, right?
But he's going to get rid of that soon enough. Watch. And it's not like he's going to get fat. So then somewhere in his 20s, what's going to happen is he's going to decide, now I need to get into a certain kind of shape.
I'm trying to be all men's health with my life.
Yeah, and then you will. I know you will. That's your trajectory. I'm going to predict it now.
Do you drink green tea?
No.
Well, you should.
Sometimes I do drink
tea
in the bath.
Tell me about this green tea.
That's my...
Well, Asians swear by it, Gareth. Therefore, you got to think it's good.
Yeah, because they live to 400 years old on
There's
average.
No taste in it.
No, okay, stick to your chocolate then.
It tastes like toes. Like, it's really not the best. It's not the best tasting thing in the world.
Well, yeah, of course. It's not like eating an orange, but sure, it's good for you.
Mm.
Look, it's a process. It's something like a time-honored tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stick to my rooibos. That's good enough.
Rooibos is good.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Gary Player swears by rooibos. He had branded rooibos.
And he's like 400 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Well, he's the greatest African.
Speaking of eating right and trying to look after yourself and trying to extend your youth, the beautiful Zoraida Jardine will join us later on. She's going to come in and give us breakfast courtesy of Kellogg's. You know, the last couple of weeks we've been speaking to a lot of people who know what you should be and shouldn't be having for breakfast.
That's so cool. Eventually the guests get it. We said, if you bring breakfast, you're the best. And she's really taken this and run with it.
And we've been talking a lot in the last 2 days, not even necessarily on the show, but we've been talking a lot about Skolopad.
Oh dear, Skolo.
So what happened was she posted a picture to Anele, right?
Mm. Yeah.
On Twitter.
I don't know, by the way, I don't know why she's giving Anele messages. when we're the ones who brought her in here and gave her a proper interview one morning. I don't know that anyone else has been paying that much attention to her. She should be giving us the exclusives, tweeting us. Like the Henry Von Bredaar case.
She wants to do the people, rounds.
We're the only people doing it properly.
She might, yeah, Sia's right. She wants to do the rounds. She wants to. Look, I don't know how many other people she's tweeted this picture to.
She should have said at Mabali Moloi.
It's a picture of it's a picture of her and her daughter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
I also have no words to describe it, Annette Mabali Moloi, because it's her and her daughter, and they're sitting on some rocks in what looks like a garden.
Yes.
And they just both also happen to be naked with just, you know, a little material covering their no-no areas. That's for both of them. But yeah, the caption is something along the lines of like mother, like daughter.
We would like to tell you our story. We both builded this brand when no one wants to listen. So obviously she means we built our brand and no one wants to listen to our story.
Mm.
Which is, we listen to her story. Again, like we are the are we the only people flying the flag for Skolopad here?
Because you remember she told us that people don't want to pay her to do anything. They just want her to arrive dressed
scantily.
Ridiculously. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, she's trying to move away from that whole thing because now she wants to start being paid for arriving at certain events.
Right. Which is good. She's got a career plan. Skolopad. Anyway, we'll talk to her later.
Well, yeah, it's that and the fact that she was kicked out of a hotel in Lesotho recently as well for what she, you know, for how she was dressed.
Well, the faster your metabolism, here's a fact, the faster you age, apparently. That's what someone just told me. I don't know if it's true. This is just some comment of WhatsApp.
Be still my flaming heart.
I don't even think Sia's got a fast metabolism because he doesn't feed it. And he just does, does look true. Like a young boy. I don't think his metabolism is anything special.
Are you guys saying like I'm lying about my age?
Like, I've got a fast metabolism. That's why I do look quite old.
Well, Mabali did not enjoy that at all.
Oh my gosh. Shame, but Ben, you also don't have the backing of the black genes. You see, that's another thing working in your favor, Sia.
Ah, but no, Lord have mercy.
So yesterday I was talking to Christina about this very thing because I said to her, you know, black women also tan, black men, and they tan. The melanin in the skin, which makes you black and me white, doesn't help you if there are alpha and beta radiation.
Why the hell are they tanning? What the fuck?
They are. No, some people do.
Why?
Well, no, you might just walk in the sun and then you get a tan. So what happens is...
The point is, a lot of you guys go in and...
Yeah, but a lot of... First of all, there's white people who think black people don't tan. Second of all, there are black people who think that they can't burn.
Yes.
Which is nonsense.
And they don't need sunscreen.
Right, so she was saying... Problem. That's a big problem because then black do crack. When it's been out in the sun and it's been parched and you can end up looking like a leather handbag, black or white, everybody, we're all under the same sun and it hates us equally.
So, that is why your moisturizer has to have SPF in it. Yes, if your moisturizer doesn't have SPF in it, you are playing a dangerous game.
But I was going to say, Gareth, it's very progressive of you to choose facials on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, you know what? She actually, I've got to give credit where it's due. And I'll give her a plug because she's that good. It's a business called Pure Aesthetics. And we should get her in here one morning to just talk to us about the thing. She does this thing called a vampire peel. She hasn't done it on me before, but they stab your whole face with these needles. It looks terrifying.
Yes.
But Christina actually came to me one day and she said to me, look, you know, she basically said you look like shit.
Mm.
And you could do a lot better. And you got to look after your skin a little bit. And these are the things that you need to do. And I said to her, well, I need to be advised. I don't know this stuff. Because what guy ever gets told that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I thank her. And it's not because I had the foresight to go. Don't compliment me. I go to her. She helps me out. But she was the one who said to me, you need to take control of this.
But if you look at our most important attributes, our most important features, our face is kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, like that stupid old saying, putting your best foot forward.
Right.
That's just hogwash. It's your face you're putting forward every time.
Correct.
So it's got to look good. or at least look like you care.
I would love to get her thoughts on makeup, though.
Well, he's just had a facial. I don't think you should put any makeup on as well.
No. I would love to hear her, like, what she says about what damage makeup does to women's faces.
And TV lights.
Like, over the years. Because that shit you cake on every day is bound to be making some damage over time.
Oh, for sure. I remember when we were doing Idols and we would do day-long shoots. And, you know, for my skin, I don't wear makeup. So when I would wear it, it would really irritate me. So in the beginning of the day, you're okay. You feel a little bit sort of just prickly and sensitive. I could totally understand why women don't want to put on makeup in the morning. And then by the end of the day, you can feel your pores are clogged up, you know? It's bad. I don't think that can be good for you. I don't imagine.
Oof. Also, the hygiene of it all, you know, using those makeup brushes day in and day out, those sponges that we use. Like,
do you know they say mascara is one of like the most contaminated products you have in your house?
Because of
the pump action.
It's so gross.
The germs are just jumping around.
Someone says here, this is interesting. I'm so upset by this Dumi Morake thing. I was reading Feryal Hafiji's article this morning and I see she now had to appeal before Solidariteit and AfriForum. It's a shame that Jacaranda's management is so gormless as to pander to the pressure from a bunch of anachronistic white fucktards. I'm upset and it's only 6:07 a.m. Yeah, well, we've spoken about this quite a lot. You know, Dumi's got my support because she's a friend of mine. And I know that she was kidding. So, I don't know how much more we need to go into this. But I do think, you know, all these big media companies, they're all a bunch of retards. Because they don't know how to deal with any controversy. Okay. Controversy comes their way. They shit themselves. Mm. All right, is Skolopat on? She's on the phone. Let's go to Skolopat. I want to find out what she's up to.
I'm on her Twitter profile right now. It's fascinating.
Yes. Okay, well, let's go to Skolopat. Skolopat, good morning. How are you?
I'm Bintaka.
Yeah, nice to speak to you. You know, I was upset that you tweeted Anele and not us, because we've been supporting you all the time.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, listen, I saw your tweet with you and your daughter. It looks like the two of you have got you've got a lot going on there. You both look very pretty in that picture. You're trying to get out there and get people to understand your brand. Tell me what your plan is.
Okay. As we've noticed, the school bus started being half naked, and then when we started the brand, my child started to ask me and say, "Mama, for you to be known out there, how can we get these people's attention, man?
Mm-hmm.
Because." We saw other people are using drugs, or it's either you fall in love with somebody who is popular, who's got money,
mm-hmm.
or you get half naked.
Mm-hmm.
Because these two things that I spoke about, the first two things, she said you'll get addicted with those two, you can't get out.
All right, let me understand. Your daughter said to you, "Mama, in order to be famous, the two things you can choose. Number one, you can fall in love with someone who's very rich and famous. Or number two, you can get naked."
Or number one,
yeah.
It's either you use drugs.
Oh, you drugs. Okay, yeah, right.
Mm.
Or you can use drugs. I mean, those are horrible choices, right?
Yes. We decided to go with the third one that says, "I'd rather be half naked."
Right.
So that people can know my brain.
Right, so your brand, and for a long time, we spoke about this when you came to see us, remember? We spoke about how you wear these outfits, and you walk on the red carpet, and everybody takes pictures, but you couldn't make money out of that. People are not going to pay you to arrive. Do you remember telling me that?
Yes.
Yeah, and has that got any better? Have you been booked for gigs?
It's only the motivational talks that I'm getting, not the gigs. Because people still don't understand. I'm an artist.
Right. I'm going to play your song just now so that people can understand that. But you do motivational talks. So tell me about this.
Yes, at school, so that people can understand. For you to be out there, you have to be educated first.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be out there without having education. So the key.
Do the schools pay you?
No, that it doesn't pay me.
Right. So in other words, you're doing this almost like you're doing a community service, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, your daughter who gave you this advice, is she part of your management team?
Since from day one when we started the brand.
Right.
And then after that in July, people get withdrawal with me.
Yes.
Saying they don't want to help me anymore because I'm not that person that people are going to love. But
right.
Still, she told me, Mama, you're going to fight it up and show these people her. I'm still in the picture and I'll support you.
Right. Do you feel people are getting the message?
I think they'll get the message when they see me with my child on stage.
Right.
Because most of the videos I've uploaded on YouTube and on Twitter, it's me and her.
All right. So the one, I saw a video of you standing next to the water and you were singing and you were dancing in your yellow dress.
Yes, she was the one taking the video.
All right.
Yes.
And what is that? That's one of your songs?
That's one of my songs.
All right. Tell me, have you stayed in Bethlehem? Is that where you still are?
Yes, I'm still in Bethlehem.
All right. Now, how many people are you supporting there, Skolpad?
Many. Many. Now they're loving me because they are supporting me a lot now.
No, but who are you supporting? I mean, are you paying for your daughter? Who else do you pay for?
Who else do I pay for? Or who else do I pay?
Who else do you pay for? Well, you know, whenever you bring the money home, how many people do you have to support?
I've got 4 dancers that I perform with and a DJ. So I've got 5 people.
All right. And you got to pay them as well?
Yes. But since there's no money coming in, they've just said, no, you'll only call us when there's a big gig. So I've been performing alone.
So what do you use then? A backtrack?
Yes, I'm using my best.
All right. Well, we're going to let everybody hear your song. What would you like people to know about Skolpad that they don't know, that they're getting wrong?
I would like them to know I'm a responsible mother. And that if you know Brenda Fassi, I really love them. Hello?
Mabr.
Mabr.
Yeah.
And then my child also asked me about where is Bongani Fassi.
Mm.
I wish Bongani Fassi could understand. He shouldn't let his mother's friend to die.
Mm.
He should be there for his mother's friend. I wouldn't. And then she told me she wouldn't let my friend to die because it's also her friend.
How old is your daughter?
She's now 17. She was 16. She turned 17 on the 13th of August.
Now, she's very busy helping you with your brand, but, I mean, shouldn't she be focused on what you said earlier, education?
Remember I was sick in August,
yeah.
Right? I was a lot of stressed and depressed.
Right.
And then last time I saw her, it was in July, and then she asked me, what's happening with your brand now? And then I was like, no, you know what, I feel like I had to take a break from this one.
No.
And then when she called me for the photo shoot, she told me, you know what, I'm going to bring life back to you because I know how much you love your friend. And then she said to me, I'm going to do a photo shoot for you. Then I know that it will do a kickstart for you again.
This,
then you'll come back
this daughter of yours is very, she's putting a lot of pressure on you for this brand, right?
Yes. And she doesn't want it to die.
Yeah, I think she should go and get a job and she should stop putting this pressure on you. You've got enough pressure. You're a full-time nurse. You've got your career. And your daughter's not helping. She's making you feel pressurized.
No, she's not, because the full part is like a second baby in our in our house, né?
Mm-hmm.
So we are really protecting this baby.
Any sexy outfits planned for the next couple of weeks?
On the 28th, on Feather Awards. What's the thing?
Which awards?
Feather Awards.
Oh, the Feather Awards. You're going to those?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, we'll see you there.
All right.
All right, we look forward to it, Skolpad. Be good.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
Honey. Bye-bye. Wow. There she is. All the way out of Bethlehem.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, she's just trying to carve out a career for herself.
Sure, and good for her. She's definitely different. What did you see on that Twitter feed of hers, Ben?
Well, Gareth, she can do a handstand twerk.
Oh, you see now.
Girl.
You see? That's
she, There was some old jalopy in Bethlehem that was getting twerked upon.
Hey, that's that a talent. Car was never
that
ready.
Is, that's a skill.
I you mean, know, Sia goes on about the dusty streets. Yeah. Well, Scolopat's twerking against a car on a dusty street. Mm. That's some cred right there.
Right.
You know, I dare any artist in this country to even try do what Scolopat can do.
A handstand twerk.
Just physically. I mean, she's posing on train tracks. She's getting out there.
Hmm.
What you got, all the other artists?
Yeah, what do you got? Damn it. Old
she
bunch of superior artists.
Leads a very colourful life.
She does.
We'll have
you
to give
what?
Her that.
She's making a difference.
Yeah, man. I'm all about benchmarks in life.
Sure.
And she's setting some.
All right. The guys from Rick and Morty called up Joel Osteen's megachurch. Did you hear this?
Oh, no.
Sorry?
Yeah. No, real. Gavin sent this to me. Listen to this.
A lot of people in line for prayers. Oh, here.
Oh, here we go.
This is the prayer line. Remember, your prayer didn't work.
Make the church still steam prayer line. This is the address. I'm there. Pray with you.
Hello. I have a prayer I need to get off my chest.
Okay. What's your prayer request?
My prayer is that I was curious about Joel Osteen, and I just wanted a prayer about pray for him. Is he around right now?
This is the prayer line.
It's the prayer Joel, like pralines?
No, this is the prayer line.
Oh, okay, so...
You asking me if he's around.
Yeah, explain to me how it works. Explain to me how this works. I'm new to this. How does it work?
Father God, what is your name?
My name's Rick.
Rick, Father God, just a little Rick to you like that in the name of Jesus.
Are you talking in tongues right now? Hold on. How does it work, the pray line? I need to talk to Joel Osteen. It's a very important message. I have lots of money right now. I have over $87,000. And I am ready. I have $83,897 right now for Joel Osteen. And I'm ready to pray. Let's pray together.
Yeah. Call back tomorrow.
How much do you get paid to answer the pray line?
Well, you know what? That ain't nothing. Oh, la, shit, da.
Whoa.
What? Sorry, say that again?
Let the Holy Spirit tell you.
Did you just talk in tongues? Are you talking in some made up? Is that Klingon? You talking in Klingon? Is that baby talk? I you keep saying Ricky. Do you know someone named Ricky? Ricky ta 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 ta. What does any of this mean? I'm confused. Is it, if I were to translate this, would it be like, hey, don't let people into the building during the flood because we don't want their dirty footsteps walking on our nice carpets?
The blood of Jesus.
I heard you the first time.
The blood of Jesus.
Yeah, I heard it the first time. The blood of Jesus.
Thank you for 2 Chronicles 20:15.
Uh-huh, 2015. 2015 was a good year.
Thank you, Lord God, for Flight News Battle.
Flight News. Flight News Battles. Is that a magazine you read? What are you talking about? I am so confused right now. Is this supposed to be some kind of...
Yes.
Yes. It's a prayer line. Oh, it's a prayer line. Is that a prayer line where you just ramble crazy nonsense? What language is this? I'm going to call my translator so I can follow the conversation. Ricky pop pop ta 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 ta. Ricky tati tapi pop 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 ta ta ta. Ricky tati papi tapi ta 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 pop 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 pop. Ricky ticky tacky pocky pocky tacky tacky. You're laughing at it because you know it's funny because it's ridiculous. That's why you're laughing right now. I just made you laugh at your own ridiculousness. You are cracking up at Ricky ticky tacky pocky tacky pocky pocky tacky pocky pock. You're dying.
Oh, she's transferred.
She's going to put me up to the next level of prayer line.
She put you up to Joel.
Because you did so good.
She's
what,
like,
what did
she's
she
like,
do
I'm
with
put,
you?
I'm putting. She's
every
like,
time that
did
she got stumped, chant
she
just
a spell
started
on you?
Speaking in tongues.
I cannot believe what
so
I just heard.
That was so much crazier than I ever
Ricky
imagined.
Tiki, dog.
That was insane, dude.
Oh, that was God. Actually bananas.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus.
You know what's amazing? Is it's like, hurts. I mean, not that I was, she's just dodging questions by talking in nonsense baby talk.
I can't believe that people actually just start, like, to me talking...
spirit taking you.
To me, talking in tongues...
It's so like...
I thought talking in tongues.
It's so like, this is the prayer line.
It's the devil.
Yeah, that's why... All right, we got more pizza.
She's like...
You know where it goes from there anyway. I love that guy who does the Rick voice. He sounds so... disinterested in the universe.
You know, he also does the Morty voice.
He does both?
Yeah. Oh!
He does both voices.
Because I was going to say,
wow.
I wonder if we can hear the guy who does Morty's voice.
Same guy.
Wow.
That's incredible, right?
That's stressful as well.
How do they record that? Because they then have to do two tracks. The guy must be working overtime.
Yeah.
He does, but to get the timing, and because there's such quick comedy in that show, so right. To get the timing when you do all the voices is incredible.
That's hard. Sure. It's hard to do. Also, you're playing against yourself the whole time. Voiceovers, it's very difficult, very specialized field. Not everybody can do it. A lot of people think they can do it. Someone tells somebody, oh, you've got a good voice, you should do voiceovers. Let's just take a quick listen. I did promise her, here's a bit of Skolopad's song, just so you know, I don't want to leave her out. And, you know, we promised we'd play it.
Yes, we did.
We got to get to news, but here it is. Just a little bit of Skolopad's song. Is this thing even on here? Amanda, that clip you sent me, I don't know if it's even working. Let me just try this. Hang on a second. There's like a 5 minute long delay at the beginning of it. Is that right? Is that meant to happen? Amanda's shaking her head like, yeah, that's how it works on Skolopad's song. Well, let's try this again. What is this one called? Do you know the name of the song, Amanda? This is so confusing. What is it?
I have no idea, but she said I need to send her a voice note of her song playing.
All right, here.
Oh. Yes.
All right, here's Skolopad. This is her new song, and she wants you to know about it. Anyway, there we go. There's Skolopad, who often hangs around at the Mauritius Tavern, which Mabale knows very well in Kwa Kwa.
Well, I mean, it's only a few meters from my parents' house, Mauritius.
There we go.
So
it's the one.
That's what it's about.
All right, let's get into some news, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, the five things you need to know this morning, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. You must download, if you haven't done this already, you're an idiot. Download Colcacchio Rewards, start earning slices for every visit and bonus slices for every rand that you spend to unlock even more rewards from apprentice to maestro status. You could do that by visiting the stores more often. As a start, there's a surprise waiting to be unlocked for all new users. Just download the app and register. Inside the app, you'll be able to monitor your status, earn slices, unlock rewards, view the menu, or find your closest store. More exciting features will be launched soon. And here's to enjoying a slice of the goodness. Colcacchio Pizzeria, they're the reason you crave pizza.
Okay. Very good.
What do we got?
All right. About 28 learners at a school in Kempton Park have been put on antiretroviral medication after a fellow pupil injected them with syringes.
Oh, man.
The grade 4 learner from Mooifontein Primary had brought the syringes to school and together with friends started injecting her classmates, or his classmates, I'm not sure if it's a boy or a girl. Now, the department said that the needles belonged to a family member of the grade four learner, and that the member was using them for hormonal reasons. On how the needles got onto the school premises, the Department of Education said that, according to the family of the learner, she used her sister's bag. There we go, it's a girl. She used her sister's bag and only realized once she was in class that there were needles in the bag. And so as a precautionary measure, medication was administered to all the learners, 28 of them. And as I understand it, some of the parents of these kids are now considering filing some other charge against the family of the learner who brought in the needles.
That is so irresponsible. I mean, in a world of HIV and, you know, all these things that you can get from needles, I mean, to go around injecting the other kids.
I know. And I mean, if you think about grade four, I mean, these are teeny tiny little kids. Do they even know what they're doing is the question.
It's very, very bad.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
They're like 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
Two passengers were arrested at Oratambo International Airport yesterday on charges of allegedly making bomb threats.
Were they nude?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't care about that story. That would be funny if they were nude, don't you think?
Why would...
If you ran out into the middle of Oratambo and you went, there's a bomb, but you were naked, that would be very attention-getting.
I mean, I don't really know what to say to that.
Sorry, you're trying to do the news, and I'm on my own trip. Sorry, I think I just thought it would be funny.
They were passengers who were both late for their flights, but these were two separate incidents because the first passenger had their incident at around 2:30 p.m. and the second one at 5 p.m. respectively.
All right.
They are a 38-year-old man and a 28-year-old man, both of whom are South African citizens.
All right, I don't want to see them naked anymore. I've just found out they're men.
Oh, all right, there you go. They were taken to the airport's police station where they were detained and they will be required to appear in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court to answer on charges of contravening the SA Civil Aviation Act.
Listen, what kind of idiot? You have to be supremely stupid. Supremely, to scream anything about a bomb in an airport.
Yeah.
It's a dumb move.
Don't do it. Even if you think that you're trying to be funny and somebody will get it.
No one's going to laugh. It's going to be terrible for you.
May I embarrass myself, but to also stress the point of how you should never say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And becoming at the airport.
Yeah.
So I was checking in once and this is so bad. And the lady who was helping me check in asked me, she says, do you have
anything sharp?
Any sharp objects with you? And I said, nothing sharp except my wit. And she looked at me and like, like crossed arms, like, what are you trying, boy?
Wrong place to laugh. Wrong place to make jokes.
Thought it was going to be funny.
I don't know. See, I've said that line and she laughed. How you deliver it, really. Obviously you weren't convincing enough.
Okay, I'll just try it again next time and hopefully not get arrested in the process either.
All right,
now, as of yesterday, Yakaranda FM have backed their host, Tumi Moraike. They did so in an official statement that was released, apparently.
Yakaranda.
The manager of Eric Barnard Meubles Furniture Store. You know, he went on a whole media rant yesterday. Well, his business pulled their advertising from Yakaranda. And he, like, was talking to the media yesterday, and he was saying, you know, that he doesn't want to advertise with an organization that mixes business with politics. So that was one of the reasons why he pulled his funding. The comments have also led to a high-profile Facebook boycott. So far, they have 30,000 members that have decided that they're all going to snub Yakaranda. The station apologized to its clients and stakeholders who are now getting drawn into the controversy because this is what the mob does, right? Yeah. Once they're upset with something, then they try and get everybody else involved. Well, so now they've put Yakaranda in a difficult situation.
I didn't see all these people who are now standing up for Tumi and fighting Jacaranda, fighting for Jacaranda. I didn't see any of them come to my rescue last year when I was very unfairly treated. So much so I had to go to court and prove it. And I didn't see any of them going, oh, we've got to support Gareth. Yeah, where is that now? And where are all those people who stand in solidarity against Tumi? I mean, where were they when all the other horrible things that have happened in South Africa happen? And you sell Eric Barnard Meubles. I mean, I don't want to imagine how horrible these Eric Barnard Meubles are.
A lot of dark wood.
A lot of dark wood and a lot of that brown leather.
One piece lounges.
I mean, it was so funny because after Twitter discovered that Eric Barnard Meubles had pulled their advertising, then Twitter said, well, fuck, then just boycott his business. It's just this back and forth of just anger, which is really concerning. But
and you know that after 2 weeks, no one's going to remember any of this or care about it
anymore.
None
of us are going to remember. We will have moved on to the next thing that has us fighting.
All these dummies with all their principles. leave me alone.
Okay, that's it.
All right, that's more than enough. It's a lot to digest for one morning. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Do you want your fancy music, Ben?
Sorry, I've saw Eric Barnard. See what I said? Contemporary stuff.
What do we got there? Good stuff?
Yeah.
Any of it that you'd buy?
Very hip and happening. I'll take that quarter unit. Not anymore, obviously, because I'm boycotting him.
But. Oh, right.
But otherwise you would have.
Jesus, some decent meubles in here.
Next, it'll be the Hotel Tweetwee Feed that pulled the advertising.
So, the BCCI, which is the Board of Complete and Utter Total Control of Indian Cricket, they've decided that they will be coming to SA. Now, as you know, these guys hate Harun Lorgat because Harun Lorgat used to be the Supremo of the ICC, and he kind of told India, look, you guys don't own cricket, stop acting like you do. And basically, they've acted like children ever since. So, it's never a done deal if they're going to come here. So it was meant to be 4 test matches they're going to have. 4 test matches and 5 ODIs. So India going, we're actually going to play just 3 test matches against you. And the New Year's test will start on the 5th of January.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds strange. New Year's test, 5th of January. Anyway, they're coming. And when India come to SA, SA can make some money. So Cricket South Africa, they're going to have a positive balance sheet this year.
Yay.
Hooray. So it'll be 3 tests and 6 ODIs. We need an extra ODI. Not really, but they're giving us an extra ODI. Because they probably feel they get more chance of winning an extra ODI than an extra test. But the strange part of this story is that there's always a Boxing Day test, right? Boxing Day cricket, that's just tradition. So because India couldn't be bothered to come before the date, SA are now trying to play Zimbabwe in a 4-day test match. Sounds stupid, right? Test matches are 5 days. 4-day test match, day night at St. George's Park in PE. Now, why on earth do they want to make a 4-day test match? Obviously, that's only going to be 3 days because Zimbabwe are cuck. But why try get the ICC to now ratify a 4-day test match, make it a 5-day, and then it's going to be over when it's over anyway? What the hell? This is like the stupidest thing I've heard in cricket for quite some time. Are you going to play differently because you got less than 1 day? It'll never go to 5 days anyway. Dumbasses. In rugby.
And it's so exasperated, Ben.
I'm Gareth, these are exasperating things. Very much so. Exasperate. 4-day test match. I mean, what is this? It's like a middle-aged man suddenly growing a ponytail because he thinks it's cool. So in rugby news, Alistair Coetzee has added a few new faces to the team, or the squad. Francois Lowe comes in. Francois Lowe has been a stalwart of this team for quite some time, but he missed out in the test matches this year so far. And look, the loose forward stocks are really drained right now, so this is a big thing for them. Sibusiso Nkosi, he'll be in as well. The Sharks wing has scored a whole load of tries in the Curry Cup so far. Really dynamic talent. And then Louis Skreta comes in. Well, I just believe the scrum off stocks in SA are quite, well, let's just say low. Look, Louis Skreta, to his credit, he's 27 now. He's always been kind of more of a journeyman kind of player, but he's definitely thrown all his efforts and limited resources into the pot. So good on him. Good on him.
Limited resources, huh?
Well, he's not exactly a great player, Gary. He's not someone like, oh my gosh, I want to be a Springbok like one day, like Louis Skreta. Kids aren't saying that. But this is like a reflection of where we are. There's key players in SA. There's just no depth. There's just no depth. Like Yano Famark gets taken to Argentina in the box squad, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't play a single minute. Probably held a tackle bag for 3 days. Now he's not even called up to this. There's no consistency. It's a bit baffling. So those are the 3 new players. Still no Ruan Combrink. He's not going to come back to this team, I think, because he wants to go play in Japan. Alistair Garcia said, well, screw you. You're the best outside back in the country. You actually are built like a man, not like a boy. But no, you can't play for our team. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. But I've also learned, I don't know if this is true, but I think Alistair Coetzee doesn't drink. So when everyone is speculating about Alistair Coetzee, this, this and that, the guy doesn't drink. And what have we learned on this show? You can't trust people who don't drink.
No, you can't.
Or Jacob, he doesn't drink either. Right. We can't trust him.
No, we know that.
I don't want rugby updates on the show to be Alistair Coetzee bashing reports. I really don't. So I'm going to move on from there. I don't think there's much more I could say. Although some box had been released to Currie Cup duty this weekend, John Mitchell was like, well, I didn't give a toss. So Rudy Page and Andre Pollard desperately needed game time. John Mitchell has said, not on my watch, mate. I want a continuity in my team. His team, of course, is the Blue Bulls, who are currently sixth out of seven teams. In the Currie Cup.
That's so cuck. How did they drop so low?
Three wins from eight. Well, Nollis was cocking around, wasn't he? So three wins from eight matches, but John Mitchell has no interest in having a Bok halfback pairing to come into his team. Yeah, so he's not going to have a beer with Alistair Coetzee for so many reasons. Firstly, Alistair doesn't drink, and secondly, after this dick move, not going to happen. currently taking place, Liverpool out of their first cup of the year, the Carabao Cup. I mean, who even knows what this thing is? If you change a sponsor every single year, how are you going to build continuity?
It's a real thing.
Yeah. And so it's the English League Cup, basically. Okay. So all the big teams are through, except for Liverpool. And Jose Mourinho basically said, well, we don't really need this cup. It's a bit of a waste of time, really, because everyone just feels weakened teams. So everyone has, even Burton. No one knows who Burton is, but they're a second-tier team. They're struggling at the moment. And even they basically put a team of reserves to go play Man United at Old Trafford, like a half full Old Trafford. Man United versus Burton, 4-1 was the final result. I mean, Man United was basically playing, I think even the guy who carries the water bottles got to go last night. It just shows this cup doesn't mean a whole bunch. And Mourinho makes a good point. If matches like this are taken out early season, perhaps the English teams would be fresher for championship glory in Europe, a place where they haven't really done so well. So this is something to look into. In golf news, the Joburg Open has a new home. It'll be at Rand Park, and it'll be a tri-sanctioned event. So that means it'll be Sunshine Tour, Europe. Ooh,
Sunshine Tour. What's wrong with you? Did you just not see the microphone?
Did you walk straight into that one?
He walked right into his microphone.
It's just hanging in front of your face for years now.
So it'll be Sunshine Tour, European Tour, and Asian Tour, tri-sanctioned at the Rand Park Golf Club. There is, of course, two courses. It is the biggest event on the European Tour player-wise, and it'll have $1.2 million as a prize fund. So announced at the Soweto Country Club on yesterday, that is going to be the event going forward. So there's been some speculation about this event going forward as far as where it's going to be, but Herman Mashaba and the city of Joburg are right behind it because it positions Joburg as an international city. Damn right.
Which we need to be.
And may there be more big golf tournaments in this country because golf is the best game in the whole world. Gareth, that's pretty much it. Oh, wait. Jeepers. Vitz lost again. Oh. So defending title. They've gone full Leicester, have Vitz. They've gone... Oh, this is terrible. AmaZulu. You know that these guys, not very good, right? AmaZulu beat them 3-0 last night. It just gets worse and worse for Gavin Hunt's team. These are the defending champions. They aren't just in the relegation zone. They have not won a match yet. They're right at the bottom. It is just so sad to see. Kaizer Chiefs, on the other hand, well, 2-0. They beat Maritzburg United last night. So them and Pirates are firing all of a sudden, which I suppose is good because it's the biggest fan base. Baroka also with a good win yesterday. They beat Bloem Celtic. And Golden Arrows beating Platinum Stars.
All right.
Real Betis beat Real Madrid last night, 1-0. This was Cristiano Ronaldo's first match back in La Liga after he pushed the ref and took his shirt off. Yeah, so no rugby championship this weekend. That's pretty much it for your sport. But I'll be talking more cricket tomorrow.
All right, Friday. Very good. Thank you, Ben. There's a good look at your sport. Now it's time to check in with Anthea. By the way, from the 1st of October, we're going to have Anthea on only once a week. So for those of you who want to get your questions in, we're going to have Anthea in on a Monday, starting 1st of October only. So if you have something you want to ask, you better get those questions in before Mondays so that we can put them to her when the first day of the week starts. All right, are you ready?
Bada baba, she works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right. Anthea.
That's right, Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right, what do we got?
So volumes were a lot less than I expected from derivatives closeout, but at least $1.9 billion traded yesterday. The market fell about 0.33%. There wasn't much direction from global markets. I think everyone was just waiting for Yellen to speak last night, which of course only happened after our market closed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the focus seemed to be more on people wanting to know what she was planning to do after her term finishes in February. I suspect they're more nervous about who's going to replace her than what she's going to do.
So what were they waiting for her career decision? I mean, this sounds like a ridiculous reason for anyone to wait whether or not to buy things or sell things.
Well, exactly. So I think it's more about people wondering who's going to replace her than anything else. So, right. And she's certainly not giving anything away. I don't think she knows.
Did it have any effect on the markets, the global markets?
So the dollar strengthened quite significantly. And then, of course, other markets were closed and Asia's stronger this morning. So, and of course, stronger dollar, ergo, weaker rand. So that was the only real impact that it had. I mean, they left rates unchanged. She spoke a lot about doing what they need to do to get inflation to 2%, which in my understanding of central bankers speak means they're cutting interest rates because if you think about it, to stimulate the economy like we're trying to do, you cut interest rates, you get people to spend so that they feel easier on their debt. But I don't think that's what she meant. I think maybe, I haven't had a chance to read her whole speech, maybe what she meant was just that they were going to run off the balance sheet. In other words, continue with this quantitative easing tapering, you know. So, mm-hmm. And so now it looks like a December rate hike is probably on the cards for the U.S.
What does that mean? What does that mean for us?
Sorry?
What does that mean for us?
So if they raise interest rates while we're cutting interest rates, then I suspect you're going to see a weaker rand.
Okay. All right. Well, that wouldn't be good.
No, but I think the kind of balance of that is that if the U.S. are comfortable enough to raise interest rates, then it means that they're comfortable with the economy, the global economy gets some confidence, gets, you know, some momentum, and maybe that could help us a bit.
Okay. I hate to state the obvious, but again, that wouldn't be good.
And we actually need to do a bit of our own economic stimulation to get going,
yeah,
right?
We seem to be so much in the grip of whatever is happening everywhere else. We are not the captains of our own destiny at this point. And I keep, I hear your words ringing in my head about how when the rand goes down, it helps our rand hedge stocks to go up. And I get that. That's useful for people who have some money invested. But honestly, it doesn't seem like there's anyone at the controls in South Africa's economy at the moment.
No, because we do speak about the economy and the stock market dislocate, right? And so it doesn't matter what happens in the stock market, because the reality is that you need the economy to be boosted and to grow and unemployment to come down. And that's where the real crux of the matter is. And even if we don't get that, then it is going to have a negative impact on our stock markets. Our market's been flat for the last year, 2.5 years.
Right.
So, and then we had CPI inflation out yesterday, came in at 4.8%, higher than last month, but still slightly lower than we were expecting at 4.9%. I think this is a nice indicator for our central bank to cut rates later today. So consensus at the moment is pointing to a strong possibility that the MPC will cut rates today. I'm not convinced about it, but I'm happy to be wrong on this one. I really am.
Sure.
And then in very company-specific news, Sasol fell 6.5% yesterday. They announced that their current BEE scheme, which was implemented in 2008, called Enzalo, Sasol Enzalo, is underwater. I mean, obviously, the BEE schemes are not independent of what happens to the share price, and the share price has languished a bit. So you can imagine the same will happen with the scheme. I mean, Sasol have to write off $900 million. So I saw that they generated 7.6 billion rand in dividends for the BEE scheme for Sasol Enzalo. of which 5.1 billion was used to pay down debt in the structure and the balance paid to shareholders. So some money flowed to the BEE shareholders, but clearly not enough to create any real kind of tangible value. You know, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that Sasol is going to buy back those Inzalo shares. They won't convert to ordinary Sasol shares, and then they'll have to implement a new scheme. So quite frankly, this costing money and not creating real value.
Okay.
And then the long-awaited star listed yesterday, the share code is SRR. And at one stage, it was up as much as 10% on the issue price, which was 20 Rand 50. So it traded all the way up to 22-something, 22.48, I think. Clearly, this is just like pent-up demand, because if you remember last week, I told you that the private placement was hugely oversubscribed by like 5 times or something. And so not everyone got the allocation that they subscribed for. And so those people who didn't obviously went into the market yesterday and bought some shares. I wouldn't be opposed to adding if you fancy adding some shares if you didn't get any in the private, which I suspect you wouldn't have got any in the private placing.
Yeah, so this is one, if you do want to, you know, change some things in your portfolio, it might be worth having some of these.
Yeah, I'd say a nice like 3.5% weight in your portfolio would be a good allocation.
All right.
And then initially Steinhoff didn't react. Like when I looked at the share halfway through the day, it was down about 1%, but it did manage to close half a percent higher. Still not kind of what I was hoping for and expecting from this unbundling and, in my opinion, unlocking of value. But I'm going to hold on to my Steinhoff shares for a bit longer.
All right, cool. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
And you, there's Anthea Gardner. It's time for Sia to give us a little bit of wisdom. I'm not going to play your Touched by an Angel music.
Yeah, we can give that a skip this morning.
It was just too corny the other day. I feel bad about it.
Well, right. But we do need to find him a special song, though.
Yes.
We'll find something that isn't corny yet, doesn't sound like elevator music, somewhere in the middle there.
I've got you.
Okay, thank you. Well, here's a question for this morning. Did you know that scientifically, they've been able to prove that when your mind tells you that you're actually finished or you can't go on any longer when you're busy with something, that you're actually only 40% done?
Say that again.
So we actually, in our natural state, only use about 40% of our brain. Naturally, our brains only function to reaching and using only 40% of its capacity, which is our so-called comfort zone. So this morning is about stressing the point that we understand that we use 40%, so let's try to go a bit extra. So
I know people who use 10%.
Hey. We know that, but let's try to use a bit more of it. You know, one of the loudest voices who's proving this point is an Ironman triathlete and US Navy SEAL. His name is David Goggins, who is currently the world record holder for most pull-ups done in 24 hours. Just if you have to know.
In 24 hours. His arms didn't fall off?
No, and he did 4,025 pull-ups in 24 hours. And he's a fifth place finisher in the Badwater 135, which is like a 135-mile race. And mind you, he's achieved all of this with a heart defect, which is caused by a hole in the walls of the heart, which limits a person's endurance. So basically, he's 34 years old, and David has been working with about 3/4 of his heart. The right side of his heart was receiving too much oxygenated blood, and the blood wasn't going to the rest of his body as it should. So despite all of this, David lives his life by pushing past the 40% comfort zone and increase his mental toughness. So talk about the perfect example.
Good for him.
To prove that we can go over 40%, right?
That's terrific.
So David is encouraging many people to figure out what your baseline is and what your comfort level is, so that you can just turn that right upside down. So think about it practically. Haven't you guys been in a fitness class? And mind you, I have very like bare minimum experience in this. And they'll say, okay, listen, we have to do 20 push-ups. And you do that 20 and you reach the end. You're like, okay, I'm done. They're like, okay, let's do 10 more. You think this is absolutely horrible, but you actually can do it. And then they go, listen, let's do 5 more.
That's what you get, those people who go, come on, I know you can do it.
But the truth is, you really can.
You can do one more. Just one more.
Yeah. Sometimes you want to punch them in the throat, but when you really begin to rewire yourself and you just push yourself extra, you can do it. And the truth of the matter is, no one has ever made it to the top of like Mount Everest and said, oh, that was delightful. That was a walk in the park.
No.
Because nothing worth, you know, achieving ever comes easily. Challenges are meant to be difficult. So let's stop crying over the fact that, you know, things are so hard and we can't do this any longer. But you have to admit, when you conquer something that's absolutely hard, you feel good about yourself. You feel stronger. You feel fit. You feel like you can take on more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once again, nothing worth having comes easy.
Yeah, all right, okay.
So just the tip for today, how about we try to switch off that series we were going to watch, or let's put our phone down and let's find a challenge that will expand your body and your mind. And we realize that, you know, we have one life, so why not? Let's make it count.
Nobody gives a shit.
Hey,
that's not what we're here for. Stop it.
Use more than your 40%, Gareth. Exactly. We should.
No, I agree. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
All right. Thank you
very
much. Said
by Sia this morning.
Said by Sia. And that brings us to the 7 o'clock hour, where we're going to check in with Justice Malala in the next little while. We're going to get to Mabale Moloi and some news. I've got to play a clip of Donald Trump. He made up a whole new African country.
Oh.
No. But that's allowed. Because didn't Bush also do stuff like that? Like Iraqistan?
Yeah, he did.
Which is normal. All
and
normal.
I mean, our president doesn't talk about other countries because he would absolutely make them up.
Like, so it kind of all like, balances out?
Like he makes up numbers. So, you know. And all these people are like, oh, Donald Trump's so uneducated. He doesn't know what's going on. I'm like, look at our president, please. Living It Up with Lerato is sponsored by Raleigh Properties. It's your first point of call on property, travel, food, art, design, and grooming. Yesterday, Lerato had an incredible show. She gets Raleigh in here. He is probably one of the most successful property gurus in South Africa. This man has done impressive things, and he started with no money, and he's built up a property portfolio that would, I mean, it would blow your mind.
Oh, yeah.
He's also one of those people who says you don't need money to become a property investor.
Yeah, okay. I need to listen to that, though.
Please
yeah.
do. You can listen to yesterday's episode, which is on cliffcentral.com. But if I were you, I'd also go back and listen to one or two others, because he explains, for example, where you should be investing property-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the moment, it's a buyer's market. So he's talking about if you're going to buy, it's better now to buy than to sell. So there's quite a lot going on that you might want to pay attention to. And if you are... if you're interested in property, if you want to start building your little portfolio, remember, I think a maximum of about 1.8% of the world's population actually own property in terms of people. 1.8% of all of us humans own property, which means if you own a piece of property, you're in the top 1.8% of all people on earth in terms
Does
of wealth.
Does own mean completely paid off or just in the process of paying off?
In the process of paying off, because you have a title
no.
deed. Yes, you have a title deed. You're in the top 1.8% of the world's population. Most
what?
People rent. Yes, most people rent. They live on land they don't own. That kind of thing. So you've got to get into this. If you want to lift yourself up,
Jeez.
Property is an important part of understanding how you can build your wealth, build your success. And Raleigh will help you to understand that along with Lerato. They are on every single Wednesday on cliffcentral.com, but you can get to hear the podcast anytime you like. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good.
This is cliffcentral.com.